Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our movie from our movie series this summer has a message for children of all ages. It is a movie that takes place in England, and it's about a man who is an undertaker. He's a mortician whose wife has died, and he is raising his wonderful, beautiful, special 7 children. They may not be so wonderful and special, but they are his 7 children. In fact, all 7 of the children are pretty awful. They're what we would say naughty, although I think it goes even a little beyond naughty. They're rotten. They're stinkers. And Simon, who is the oldest and somewhat of the ringleader of the group, he's a sad little boy. He says that fathers forget about their children when their wives die. And so they together, all 7 of these children, have gotten rid of 17 nannies. The last one, because they pretended that they ate the baby. They put the baby in the roasting pan with the potatoes and the gravy, and then took the chicken and ate it when the nanny came in and pretended they were eating the baby. This is how awful these children are. The agency won't even talk to Mr. Brown anymore. They told him that there are no more nannies left. And so when I was watching this, I was reminded of a Bible verse. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. But honestly, I don't think Jesus meant this. I don't think he was saying that adults should act like these 7 horrible children. They didn't treat anyone well. They didn't treat anyone nicely at all. And I don't think that Jesus wanted us to become like these kids now, would he? But in this house of crazy children and a father so stricken with grief that he can barely speak to his children are a couple other people. There's a cook, a woman who was in the army and who has written orders in her contract that the children may not come in the kitchen. She's so scared of them. And the scullery maid, whose name is Evangeline, the young woman who does all the cleaning. She loves the children. She's really the one who truly loves the children. And she says to them, "Well, I love you." And one of the little boys says, "But you're a servant and you're paid to love us. So that doesn't count." Which, of course, hurts her feeling because she walks out feeling separate from all of them. The cook is horrible. She's not a terribly nice person herself. And she says to Evangeline one day, "It will snow in August before this family is straightened out," because she feels that there's really no hope for them. Until, of course, a woman appears at the door. A woman who takes people aback just a bit because she has warts all over her face. She's dressed all in black. She has a very big and bulbous nose. She has a big snaggle tooth that comes out of her mouth and hangs out on her lip. And she carries a very special cane. She is a little bit disconcerting to look at. Nanny McPhee shows up one night, says that you need me, comes in and just takes over and says, "I have lessons to teach your children. They need me." And she sets about trying to get them to listen, to do what they're told, to behave. And I thought of her, as you heard in my prayer, that she just comes out of nowhere. when she's needed. Not necessarily wanted, but needed. And I think about our lives and our lives when they get complicated and the Holy Spirit comes and we're not really sure we really want any change. So it's not exactly welcome. Nanny McPhee was not welcome. She was about to disrupt this entire household. All the rules about go to bed when you're told to, get up when you're told to, say please and say thank you, and listen when you're told. She's trying to teach them to be kind to others. And I reminded of Jesus saying, love one another as I love you. But these children are not being kind, and they are not loving one another, and they're certainly not doing anything but loving themselves at this point. But Nanny McPhee seems to know their story. She knows all their names. She doesn't understand how she knows their names. But when they do something wrong, she taps the cane on the floor, and suddenly they're not in control of their lives anymore. And there is one time when they're all pretending to be sick because they don't want to get out of bed, right, Issa? And they put white stuff all over their face and they pretend to have measles. And so she comes in and she says, oh, you'll have to spend the whole day in bed. And they think that's wonderful. And she taps her cane and suddenly they don't feel so good. And their throats hurt and they can't move their legs and they're stuck in bed and they're hungry. But she takes and makes them take this horrible, horrible medicine. And so they don't really have control over what they're doing. You know, Jesus talked to the disciples over and over again. And for a long, long time, he tried to teach them so many lessons. But if you've studied the Bible, you know that they were hard lessons and that a lot of times the disciples didn't get it. In fact, they fought against a lot of what Jesus told them. Nanny McPhee had that problem. She tells the children, this is how I work. When you need me but don't want me, I must stay. And when you want me but no longer need me, I must go. Jesus stayed and stayed with the disciples. He taught and taught and taught. And when they sort of started to understand, he had to leave them. He had to go away. Nanny McPhee always stays to teach these important lessons to the children. She wants them to have good and happy and sacred lives, even if they are pretty naughty. But every good story also needs a villain. So, of course, there's Great Aunt Adelaide, who's a terribly mean woman, and she's bossy, and she's been paying the rent for the house that these people live in, because before her niece died, she promised she would take care of them. But she has lots of conditions for her money. She tells Mr. Brown he has 1 month to get married. It doesn't matter who he marries, but he has to get married because these children need a mother. She also shows up one day and says she's going to relieve him of the burden of one of his children and goes about trying to choose a child to take with her. And of course, Mr. Brown doesn't want her to take any of the children. And the children go about messing it all up, as they always do. But then they figure out a plan and they ask Evangeline to go. And so because old Aunt Adelaide is blind as a bat, she doesn't know who the kids are. And Evangeline gets in the carriage with her, and Aunt Adeline says, is the chosen one seated now? And so this young woman sacrifices for the children so that they will not be separated. And she goes and lives with this horrible woman who is going to educate her, who's going to help her become a lady. And so she does sacrifice herself for the children, the chosen one. When you think about all the things that Jesus did for his children, there was sacrifice at the core of all of them. Evangeline goes away for quite a long time with this horrible Aunt Adelaide, And Nanny McPhee continues her lessons with her children. Mr. Brown, though, still has to get married. He has to marry somebody. So he asks a dreadful, horrible woman named Mrs. Quickly, whose first three husbands have all died, to marry him. But the children mess that up too. The children put worms in her sandwich and a tarantula in her hair and just do everything they can to make her scared, right? And she runs away. But finally, Mr. Brown sits down with all seven children and explains to them why Aunt Adelaide is important and why he has to get married. They had no idea that they would all end up in the poorhouse, and that's what would happen to children. He would go to the poorhouse, they would be separated, the house would go to the bank. And the children understand what they have done. And so they go and they say to Mrs. Quickly, "We're sorry, we did all of those things. Our father wants to marry you. And oh, by the way, Aunt Adelaide has a lot of money." And Mrs. Quickly decides suddenly that she is in the marrying mood. And she runs back to Mr. Brown, not happy about the children at all, because of course she doesn't like them. But they did this for their father, and they did this even though they were going to have a horrible stepmother, so that they could remain together as a family. And when I saw that, I heard, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." It meant the kind of love and sacrifice that these children were finally willing to make. They were no longer being selfish and naughty. They wanted to stay together, and they were willing to make a sacrifice to do that for their father. Well, on the day that he is to marry, at this absolutely hideous wedding, where everything is yellow and pink and bright green and blue and purple, and two sheep have been dyed to match the wedding, Mrs. Quickly has on a bright flowered dress and a yellow hat. Evangeline and Aunt Adelaide come back, and Evangeline now looks kind of like a princess, a fairy princess. She's been refined, and the kids don't recognize her, though Mr. Brown said, "Oh, well, she's always looked like that." And during the wedding, the children once again misbehave. They decide to pretend like there are bees everywhere. And they start dodging bees and making buzzing sounds, even though there are no bees. And the pastor's allergic to bees, so he becomes quite scared and dives for the ground. And pretty soon people are jumping around, and there really are no bees. And then they start a food fight with all that yellow cake and pink and purple, and it's really pretty disgusting. I don't like food fights. I don't watch food fights. This one's pretty bad. And the wedding turns into this horrible ruckus, and Mr. Brown realizes that he cannot marry a woman that does not love his children and who is going to be so horrible and mean to them. And he doesn't care. And all the kids and he, they all celebrate because Mrs. Quickly runs away, but then all of a sudden the issue of getting married is still there and his time is running out. Aunt Adelaide is going to take her money. And the children figure it out and they say, "You should marry Evangeline." And of course, this is a fairy tale. So guess what happens in the middle of August? It starts to snow. Just as Cook predicted, the only thing that would straighten out this family is if it snowed in August and suddenly everything becomes white and pure and beautiful. And of course, it has a happy ending. Mr. Brown and Evangeline and all the children are going to be together. But one of the things that I didn't mention is that every time the children learned a lesson, something happened to Nanny McPhee. A wart would disappear, and another wart, which was very confusing to them, because they'd say, "Didn't you used to have a..." And she'd say, "A what?" They couldn't say wart. But her warts disappeared and her nose got small, and suddenly she looked quite beautiful. And she became beautiful in their sight. when she was telling them to do the things that they didn't want to do, she was not beautiful in their sight. But when they began to love her and realize that the lessons that she was teaching them were lessons that were hard but good for them, her beauty was reflected in the love that they had for her, and she became beautiful when they began to love one another. At the end of the story, all is white and beautiful, and they're getting married. And you hear as she's leaving say, "When you need me but don't want me, I must stay. And when you want me but no longer need me, I have to go." But just like Nanny McPhee, we know that when we listen to the lessons, when we listen to the lessons of Jesus, they stay with us the rest of our lives. Jesus said, "I will send you an advocate. I will send you a Holy Spirit. My lessons I have taught, but even though I have to go away, my lessons will remain with you, and there will be the presence of God with you always to help you remember these lessons and still work in your lives every moment. May it be so for you and for me. Amen."